Today on Seculo is Elon Musk, Joe Biden and the Democrats, new boogeyman. We'll talk about that more today.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo as this week continues.
Election
we still
day,
do not
election
have...
Election night continues.
Yeah, I love that. I got sucked into it again last night because they told me there were votes coming in Maricopa, but there was still like 600,000 remaining. And I'm like, okay, but we're going to get 50,000 right now, so it's not going to change anything. And it didn't. We still don't know about Nevada. And we still don't even know about the House yet. There's predictions, obviously. It looks like Republicans are going to take the House. Listen, folks, I think that's going to be Monday at best, not even.
One of the tweets I saw or post said, when it comes to Arizona, said, or no, it was the LA one. I've talked about the LA county. Who is going to be the mayor?
Does that still undecided?
No, they said it will be weeks until they have all the votes, and they were only at like 60%.
Yeah, this is it's just insane. And oh yeah, here's Bill Gates, because this is he says this is normal. I don't feel like this is normal. Take a listen.
It's very standard. This is how things work in Arizona and have for decades.
It's not working.
Right.
This does not work. This breeds just discontent and questions. And they even had to put out a statement saying that the gubernatorial candidate against Carrie Lake is the current Secretary of State, the Democrat. And she has glasses and like gray hair. And someone who was counting votes looks similar to her. There was a whole conspiracy online because, and they actually had to put out a
they
statement.
They had to respond, yeah.
Saying we checked, it wasn't her.
Right. Like, the fact that was even a question.
You know, we have to laugh a little bit at this point.
I think you do. It's
Veterans Day. I want to thank you all to our veterans out there too. I mean, I don't want to forget that.
For sure.
In this space, because that is the reason why we're able to have these discussions. You know, those are folks who decide to serve the country regardless of politics.
Absolutely.
You know, they take themselves out of that equation and they say, I'm going to serve the country. It's not based on who the president is at that moment in time, because I want to protect so that we can have these elections, so that we can have these debates, so that we can have free speech. And Mike Pompeo is going to be on later. We're going to talk about Veterans Day and the importance of that. But it's kind of the... It's not post-politics, but it's that bigger-than-politics service to the country.
Yeah, our kids had an event today, and they did a whole tribute to everyone in the audience who has served. And it was a moving thing that, like I said, went beyond politics. It was great. So hopefully that's something. We did a video of it for Bald Beagle. I know they're going to re-release it today. It's one of our biggest ever, which is our kids' channel on YouTube and on Rumble.
Is that the Nugget?
Is the Nuggets of Information talking about Veterans Day. And it does. Now here's an interesting part. In today's Veterans Day... the presentation at the kids' school, Space Force was added to it. So
that's cool.
It's kind of cool to see. And they brought up that they know there probably weren't any Space Force veterans there, but that's something we need to start talking about because they're going to protect
Allie
us.
Allie wrote it, should we just start saying it's election month in America?
Election month in America.
Or a year.
Yeah.
Or 18 months it's been.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's always
the
election.
The election is now, again.
I mean, yeah, we're already to 2024. There's already fighting. There's
Trump
already.
DeSantis, young kid. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
You saw it. If you're not, I'm not going to highlight it. Like we decided.
No, can we please just take a few days? Can we just get through this one?
I know.
I just want to get through this one before we move on to the next one.
But we see the new boogeyman.
It's like Marvel movies. They have to keep announcing them.
Donald Trump's been a boogeyman. DeSantis will probably be made into one, I'm sure, over time with the Democrats. And they tried to do that a little bit with him. But the new boogeyman is definitely Elon Musk.
Absolutely.
He is the new, in a way, Trump.
Yeah, in some ways, the way
where
he
you just say the name and the Democrats, and the Republicans are screaming for, and he's trolling everyone.
Yeah, I had a friend say something about it, and I said, I love it. And they're like, really? You love it? I was like, yeah, he's done some awesome stuff. Now, I think he's also chaotic, and it says stuff that's not necessarily always, I don't agree with him on a lot of things, or not on everything.
He's a free speech guy.
Hopefully he's a free speech guy. Look, it's still, Twitter still hasn't really come around to be that free speech platform yet, but things are getting a little better. So we'll see what happens coming up.
We're not in a submarine.
Yeah. Give us a call. There are numbers right now. We have some clips, actually, specifically about how President Biden is starting to single out.
Look at the National Security Advisor.
Yeah, singling out Elon Musk.
Yeah.
He's the richest man in the world. The purveyor, the creator, pretty much, of the electric car.
Which they love, but now they don't like. SpaceX.
Yeah, all these amazing things, and now just you know,
I love how they take it away. Well, they were like, "Oh, Tesla was already started. It was like nothing; it wasn't working."
Right, give me a break.
He put the rockets in space.
Yeah, there's a Tesla floating around in space right now.
He'll be the first to go to the moon. So I want to play the Biden. So this, again, it was set up by a reporter for Bloomberg. And Joe Biden didn't have to bite on this. He could have just pushed it aside and said,
kind of laughed it off.
Yeah. Because honestly, they tried to say all these things now. The Saudis, they already had board seats, by the way, on Twitter. Their public investment fund is the biggest in the world. They have lots of companies in the U.S., probably more than you would like to know. Maybe everybody doesn't love that, but it's not illegal to do business with the Saudis. It never has been. It's always been a close relationship, actually, with the United States, even through 9/11, even through the terror attacks. And yeah, there's a balance there, but again, they're using them too, as we know that. They're in a public fight with the Saudis constantly. But take a listen. This is Joe Biden, and then it gets backed up. So the White House didn't walk this one back or try to say, oh, he was just answering a question. He's not actually ordering investigation. Because the National Security Advisor then doubles down. But take a listen.
Yep.
Mr. President, do you think Elon Musk is a threat to U.S. national security? And should the U.S. and with the tools you have investigate his joint acquisition of Twitter with foreign governments, which include the Saudis?
I think that Elon Musk's cooperation and or technical relationships with other countries is worthy of being looked at. Whether or not he is doing anything inappropriate, I'm not suggesting that. I'm suggesting that it's worth being looked at. But that's all I'll say.
Worth being looked at is what he was saying. It's worth looking at.
But it's not. I didn't suggest that they do anything wrong.
Nothing wrong, but it's worth looking at. If
it's the president of the United States, but they say that, you know, listen,
it's ridiculous.
Remember, they are using the tools of government to intimidate and scare people. Also, it divides people. It causes this division. Like Twitter now it's a political statement. Just using it, I guess.
Yep.
Now there's a lot of liberals still on it. Most didn't leave.
Now I have to say,
it's wild.
It was a pretty dramatic shift.
Oh, it's wild. I got more followers than wild.
I'm actually having fun on it again, and I was off of it for years.
I utilize it more than I did. Not just for breaking news. Okay, then you take that, you say, okay, was that just a rambling Joe Biden statement? But then Jake Sullivan, the National Security Advisor, gets brought into the discussion as well. Do we have the sound from that as well? So, I mean, this gets, again, this is not a rambling Joe Biden.
This is not a off-the-cuff, didn't want you out to answer.
This is now you realize a pre-planned thing.
Absolutely.
Take a listen.
The president yesterday said that it should be that the Elon Musk's acquisition of Twitter should be looked into as a potential threat to national security. Can you offer anything about why? And he also said there are many ways to look into that. How would you look into that?
Well, you heard the president yesterday, and the CFIUS process is the normal process through which transactions that might have a national security nexus get reviewed. And I will defer to the CFIUS process rather than comment on it further from this podium.
By the way, they're not using this about all the Chinese that are buying up all the land in the United States. They're not investigating that through CFIUS, which, by the way, CFIUS plays a role usually before the acquisition is done if it poses a threat to our national security. But owning all of our farmland, they don't think poses a national security because they're all the Chinese. It's just, again, it's like, who's a threat to national security bigger? Hunter Biden going around the world as a crackhead doing business deals with his dad as the president? That's a pretty wild.
Yeah.
That's kind of like a loose cannon.
Even in the social media front, you had the whole TikTok controversy and whether what TikTok was doing or not doing. That, I'm sure, needed to be looked into maybe
more
aggressively.
That's the Chinese just stealing data and influencing.
Yeah, but Twitter.
Twitter, which is just a bunch of words.
And now that it's just become now more ads and maybe more
monetized.
Yeah, and more middle of the pack to right leaning or libertarian leaning. And just by ownership alone. Like I said, I feel like this is a win-win for Twitter. I think Twitter was pretty gross. It was pretty much a hell.
These people that work for Bloomberg News, you don't think they have business with the Saudis? Are you kidding me? The Saudis were already on the board of Twitter, already board seats on Twitter. They were huge investors. Yeah. He didn't bring them in. They might have helped with the deal, but because he had to convince the board. But they weren't new. So did anybody like care about Jack Dorsey having the Saudis on there? Right.
But no one was talking about that.
Because he has weird facial hair and piercings.
Yeah, and he had to put out the apology when Musk laid off. Everyone said, actually, it was all my fault. I overbloated everything.
All these companies are done. Listen, no one is saying about Mark Zuckerberg.
It is weird.
He just cut like, how many was it, 13,000 people?
A huge amount of people. And a lot of these people are cutting 30 to 50% of their staff.
But he gives money to Democrats.
Yeah. He lets the FBI go in and...
tell them what to say.
Yeah, which Twitter did too until now. This is from CNN's newsletter last night.
National security threat? It's whatever's happening on Twitter is public. It allows you to track even like bad actors.
Yeah. I don't know. It's ridiculous. CNN newsletter last night.
This
said
awful but lawful thing. We got to stay with it. It's not the best sell. It doesn't always make people happy. And there's a line. There is lines. But, you know, the Supreme Court says it. It's not, you can't just write the definition of the line. You have to just say, okay, this is when things go too far. We all kind of collectively as a society realize that.
Yeah.
What's the line between questioning the, you know, race things and being racist, and then also what's the difference between racist and violence? It's all these different lines. And again, free speech means a lot of awful speech. Unfortunately, that's part of it. But you know what? Who's the first people they would love to cancel is all of us.
Yeah, so you know, be careful what you're saying. This came from CNN's newsletter last night. They said the world is watching while the world's richest man single-handedly destroys one of the world's most powerful and important communication platforms just weeks after acquiring it for $44
billion. A bunch of trolls.
Yeah, about to say, maybe it was your most effective, but now that it's not just a liberal cesspool, now it's all of a sudden one of the world's most
well, like we said,
board.
How many times?
It's they all freaked out of the blue check
mark. We use like our dad's official account. Okay, he's not writing the tweet. Let's be honest with you, okay? Yeah. He's not. And you know what? It never moved to that because Twitter got so nasty.
Yeah.
So he put out something to be like, you know, Mike Pompeo's coming next. And everybody's replying to Mike Pompeo. And you get 400 responses of the exact same from supposedly different accounts.
Yeah, they're always from bots.
And you're like, why are you even following me?
Or
what do you even care?
Or some sort of Democrat initiative.
It's like they go online and said, okay, we need to all do this, or whether it's actually grassroots or not.
And you can see the same four words being used in just different ways.
Yeah, that's why even the stuff that starts trending about random people, and you're like, what? Well, this is trending because of liberals. And now they're just mad because we're going to have equal opportunity there?
This is what it said. It's hard to succinctly summarize the absolute chaos. This is again from that CNN report that has consumed Twitter over the last 12 hours as Elon Musk continues to wreak havoc on Silicon Valley company. It feels like the beginning of the end, honestly. One recently laid off Twitter employee candidly told me Thursday evening, describing the company as a Titanic with everyone looking for lifeboats. My favorite part about that is, one, the company was already sinking miserably. It wasn't like all of a sudden Twitter was this
never made money.
Incredibly financial success. So to me, I've always said this. You know, I have no stake in the Elon Musk game, but what I will say is if two things can happen. It's a win-win. Either it becomes a place to actually go and have a entertaining, interesting conversation, kind of goes back to old Twitter, or he blows it all up and it goes out of business. Either way, win-win for the world. I think that's a good thing. Either one of those situations.
It did empower a lot of bad actors. Ayatollah, actors, Putin, the Russians.
To be able to
Chinese,
spread their stuff.
Spread their propaganda.
Yeah. I mean, in
two sentences.
In people anonymously being able to threaten and make statements that were untrackable. I mean, the amount of people who have said horrible things to us and then also threatening things to us that were untrackable or untraceable.
Every day.
Yeah, and there's usually some people you could point to and go, there they were. I have to say Twitter actually was better about that for a few years ago. A few years ago, if I reported someone for making a death threat, they would kick them off pretty quickly. Now it's like, he just said he wanted to hang you. He didn't say, legitimately, those would be the responses you'd get back. They're like, is that a threat? I don't know.
So, I mean, again, there's a line. It's more like the Wild West again. I like it that way better. For me,
well,
personally.
It becomes more
because at least I know
entertainment.
I've
also
noticed the reactivation. I'd like to take a phone call 1-800-684-3110. If you've gone back,
well, I think he said comedy is back, and I think that's true. The fact that you're allowed to have satire, you're allowed to have comedy, you're allowed to have more fun.
Like a Jesus account got verified.
Yeah,
but I'm sure it was a paid verified. It's actually nothing bad. It's kind of funny, but it's done in a parody.
The paid verification thing is it's a catch-22. Because you have to put if it's parody in the account or it can get shut down. I've seen some friends already get impersonated and that be an issue because they have the blue check mark. Personally, again, though, I do think it's kind of funny. I do.
Yes.
I do love that everyone who freaked out.
But the liberals, but they love their blue check mark.
Right, they love their blue check mark so much that they all of a sudden they're talking to Elon Musk being like, please don't take away our precious verification.
Oh, God. I remember through this process growing up through Twitter when it first, and that was like the gold standard.
Oh, you know? Oh, when I got my email saying I got verified, it was I made a lot of my friends very jealous, very mad.
It does, but mostly liberals.
At the time, it wasn't.
At the time, no. But like now, I feel like, you know, they all want to like take our accounts down. I mean, I don't know how. God knows how many times people are clicking that button for everything I put out.
I only do it for a few people.
Yeah, I don't like that. Again, I'm not making personal attacks. You know, no. It's politics, free speech, and voting and elections. And okay, we'll take your calls. Mike Pompeo is going to be joining us. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. We'll be right back on scene. Welcome back to Secio. We're joined by our Senior Counsel for Global Affairs, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, first time since Election Day. And first off, just right away, I will talk about it a little bit, Secretary Pompeo, on Veterans Day, but I want to thank you for your service to our country. You've got a new piece up at ACLJ.org. And this is, again, people are looking for this kind of info, so this is exclusive to ACLJ. It's Lessons from the Midterm Elections. You traveled the country, you were with the voters. What is your biggest takeaway now? I mean, we still don't know exactly the balance of power, but your biggest takeaway from Tuesday's election?
I think my biggest takeaway by far, Jordan, is what I saw for the 14 months, is that people are looking for serious leadership. They're not looking for noise. They're not looking for tweets. They're looking for people with real solutions to things that matter in their lives. And you saw the candidates that did that, that didn't just rail against the machine. They said, here's my idea. Here's my vision. Here's how we'd execute that. Here's how we'd implement it. How we make it work. Serious people who weren't afraid them to tell them hard truths about inflation or crime or the things that were really impacting them. Those candidates tended to do far better than candidates who just sort of tried to ride the tide. That tide didn't come in the way that I had hoped that it would come in. And I think what this reminds us all is this is a serious moment in American history, and it requires serious leadership as we move forward.
I kind of felt the same way. So you can have a big social media following. You can make your statements. You can be even popular amongst the conservative echo chamber.
Yeah.
But a lot of people decide, Secretary Pompeo, that, you know what, we're in this economic uncertainty time. And even though I don't love what Joe Biden's doing and some of these Democrats, they seem more serious. And maybe I don't want this candidate, that candidate. I'm not naming names, but maybe I don't trust them.
You want people to activate, not to just stir stuff up.
And yeah, so that takeaway, and again, people are going to learn this, but as you just said, like, it's not just about being an anti-Biden, but this kind of solutions to, okay, how are you going to handle inflation? What can we actually do to address this quickly? And so the candidates that did that, I'm sure that as you travel the country, I bet most of those did win.
Yeah, I think that's right. Look, we shouldn't underestimate. This is a divided country. You can see it. It's divided by region. You can see it's divided in lots of ways, politically. But the issues that were on people's minds didn't change. We were talking about this many, many times, Jordan. People care about the fact that they're not going to have home heating oil that they can afford. They care about the fact that they want to protect the unborn. And wherever one falls on these various issues, if the serious people who talked about them candidly, who weren't trying to just own the libs, but were rather trying to identify the real concerns of people all across America, they not only got conservatives because their principles and values aligned with that candidate, but they also got others from a broad spectrum and say, hey, this guy, that's a serious person who's going to go there and be thoughtful and work their tail off and actually deliver things that matter to me and my family. And those folks just tended to, in the close races, win. And those who were just out there, raising money by sending, you know, tweets out and text messages that were alarming, they just didn't do as well. They didn't win those close races.
I mean, if you had a message if it's Kevin McCarthy, if Republicans take back the House, so they're going to be in charge, and maybe the Senate, and there's a lot of talk about the investigations, and I think some of those people want, like on the border and Mayorkas, and what Scalise said about that, I think is right. But what would your advice be to this new leadership coming in about where they should focus their attention?
They should focus on outcomes, and oversight and investigations are part of that. We need to know the things that are happening. They're about to put 87,000 new IRS agents on the street. We still have inflation that is over 7.5%. Don't think for a moment that that's a good outcome. We need to do real oversight, and then we need to provide answers. Here's what we will do when we have a president and a Senate. and the House of Representatives. These are the things. These are the things we'll do. We can demonstrate what outcomes will flow from those and why it matters to you. And talk with people seriously. The American people can handle hard conversation. They know how to do the things that matter to our country. We should be proud of America. We shouldn't walk away from our commitments around the world. We should deliver across the board the conservative value set that we talk about on this show all the time. And when we do, when we begin to do that and articulate in a way that people can go, okay, I get that. I can see what you're going to do. They'll have confidence to provide us the levers of power. And then we can actually go execute and deliver on what we promised.
Secretary Pompeo, I just wanted to quickly, divert a little bit off of politics for a second, because it is Veterans Day. And like we said, thank you obviously for the service you've done to this country. And what is the message, though? We have such a divided time. I was talking to my brother here. I said earlier today, I was at my kid's school. They did a whole tribute to the veterans, bipartisan. No one was talking about politics. What's a message that you want to send right now to America's veterans when we are in such a time of what feels like uncertainty?
We should tell them thank you, as we always do, but we should also tell them we appreciate how much they have always been a bulwark for America in our most troubled times. In our most difficult moments in American history, the United States military has always stepped forward to provide an anchor for the United States of America. So thank you for that. Keep providing that anchor. Don't let our military wander into something that is off mission. And I don't mean this politically. The United States military is not a political instrument. It is a tool of American excellence and power. And we should know that, and they should know that. So when the leaders start talking about diversity, equity, inclusion, and green vehicles, and all the things that are politicized, urge them to bring it back to the places that have delivered deterrence and kept our nation safe and made us more prosperous. I am so thankful for all those who are continuing to serve. It breaks my heart when I hear about kids who say, gosh, this might not be a good time to enter the military. I hope President Biden will continue to honor them and honor the commitment that we need both for those soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines, but also that America needs from our armed forces.
Secretary Pompeo, I really appreciate and thank you for your service to our country, for joining us today. And I encourage people to go to ACLJ.org, because right away, not holding anything back, Secretary Pompeo writes about what we need to learn from Tuesday. And it's right up at ACLJ.org. Check that out. As always, we appreciate both your comments on the military, which I think is exactly right. This recruiting problem there is because you think you're going to be walking this political mess, and that should be a political no zone.
Yeah, absolutely. It should be. And it really, I think for most people, it is.
Yes.
But the problem is, but the leadership and the media wants to lead you believe, like they do. Look, I think one of the referendums you had on Tuesday was the realization that America, though incredibly divided, is not representative by some of the loudest voices. Some of the loudest voices in the room don't represent where actually people are going to vote. And I think we're going to see that play out, not just in the midterms, but in the next couple of years.
Yeah, and sometimes it does, and sometimes it does. I think it's like some of those candidates won, some lost. But by and large, if you didn't come with both the packages, like, you could be a loud voice.
You could be a firebrand, sure, but as long as you're coming out with that. Look, it's what we provide here. We've said that with the ACLJ. We've said it with Secular Brothers, and we've said it with this, which is, what can you do that is different than everyone else? Which, for us, it's if we're going to come and do this show each and every day, we're not just a show. We're actually activists. We are out there doing the work. Changing the world, stirring up nonsense.
The cry on Fox News right now is talking about Secretary Pompeo talking about our military crisis.
Right.
He's just with us live. He's part of our team. He's not just a guest on the show. So he's helping us behind the scenes as well. He's going to be in our office next week. I mean, and I think it's going to be people like him. I mean, I didn't want to put him in that spot, but that's
reasonable, serious voices in the room. You can always have fun. You can always be, you have to be entertaining in some ways in politics, but there is a separation now. I think people are seeing that because we've lived through the celebrity politician a few times, whether that was with Obama or Trump.
And we're living through like the celebrity businessman, the Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Where you're like, usually most CEOs of companies, you don't know the name.
Yeah.
Like, you don't talk about that. They're not pop culture icons.
No. But he is the richest man.
He is. And he also, he's controversial. I think what the White House is trying to do is they're trying to take out any time that we have a way to get our voice out, they want to demonize that.
Yep.
We'll be back. Second half hour coming up. Give us a call, too. Are you back on Twitter? 1-800-684-3110.
Keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. So we talked Musk, talked to Secretary Pompeo about Veterans Day. Can't talk about that enough. Thank you. We have so many listeners all the time, you know, say they served or are serving, family who served. And I love that because these are folks who have strong political opinions who can set it aside. They, you know, you got to figure that out in the United States. And I think what Secretary Pompeo is warning about is it's already tough for people to do that, right? It's tough. But when the military leadership is not doing that anymore, whereas like you have to go through a guidance training program and what pronouns you use. And this is not who we're usually trying to recruit to join the armed services.
Yeah, exactly.
It's off-putting, so you say, that's not, like he said, it's not for me. It's not the right time to join. And that's why our recruiting numbers are down significantly at a time when there are more threats to the country, probably it's post the Islamic terror threat.
Yeah, I think that is a time that we need to not only, like I said, support our veterans, but also support our veterans to cultivate that next group of people who are willing to serve our country, put in the incredibly hard work, potentially sacrifice their life for essentially their country and their job. And look, that's, I'm very proud of our children's channel. We have a kids' YouTube channel called Bald Beagle, like Eagle with a B, Bald Beagle. 2 years ago, we put out a video on Veterans Day. It's our most popular video. It gets played in schools all across the country, whether that is in public schools, whether that is in private schools. We're able to see actually a teacher, a lot of times, especially during when they were in lockdown, teachers were using these videos all the time. We're able to see it. And I thought that was really great that our number one video, because look, we have some explaining the Electoral College and other things that kids were asking specifically in 2020. A lot of kids were asking those questions, but our most popular video is really breaking down the importance of Veterans Day. So I'm actually going to tweet that right now for those who haven't seen it. So if you're following me at Logan Seculo, I haven't promoted my Twitter in years, but I'm going to put it out there as well. I'll put it on Truth Social as well and all on my other platforms. That video, the nuggets of information, Veterans Day for kids, great way to not only learn about it, but also to share it with your kids or grandkids, whoever you can, who needs to know a little more information, sort of a lighthearted way, you could do it that.
Let's go to the phones. Brenda's been holding on, North Carolina, on line one. Hey, Brenda.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. My question is, why can't we just vote on Election Day? None of this other stuff. Just like the country was made to do. Vote on Election Day.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a fair discussion to be had about whether we should be having Election Month. It's certainly, like, you don't even learn fully about the candidates. Sometimes you don't even, there's voting before they even, like, they have the debate. And that wasn't just in Pennsylvania, that's across the country. So people are already making up their decision without even necessarily having a chance to see the full picture and even to learn about the candidates. So I do think there's an issue with how early you start. The flip side of that is that we had to get voter turnout higher up in the United States. It was becoming embarrassing to the rest of the world, who had, you know, 70 and 80% turnout. We had like 40% in presidential years. So you try to encourage opportunities. Same-day voting can be tough.
Yeah.
I think if you made it a national holiday, if you took, if people didn't have to go to work, but you know, when you have to work a basic, even like 8-hour job.
It was actually interesting because kids are off school in Tennessee.
Because they need some,
they need
some
the schools. But it actually becomes harder sometimes for parents
right.
to then go vote because then you got your kids with you. I voted on Election Day and there were tons of parents having to handle their kids in an hour long line.
Yeah, I think it's fun to take your kid to vote if the line's not an hour and a half.
I do want to say though that I also think you can't really put the genie back in the bottle.
No.
Now that there is early voting, we have to learn how to embrace it.
No, right. So I get the concerns, but we're actually working on something right now for Georgia, for the runoff, where I don't want to get too far, but we're going to put out a campaign on early voting.
I think it's important.
It's not partisan. It's not going to be partisan. It's just going to be utilize it. Like you, like, I don't know when it starts yet, Georgia. I don't want to get the wrong numbers today, but
here's the thing. In general, we've said this. We're on every social media platform. Some that are friendly, some that are less friendly. Why? Because you utilize the tools and you utilize where people are.
Yeah, so if they let you early vote, get your votes banked.
Right. I agree with that completely.
Bank your votes. I hate that we're having every election, we're down 70% when the first votes come in.
And if a snowstorm comes in, you're already set.
Yeah, it starts. Yeah. Raining, it's raining outside because you don't want to, and you got your kids, and you don't want to get, or you're sick, or you can't get off work. You know, something came up with work, or your flight got delayed. This is why, again, we need to utilize the freedoms we have, the opportunities we have. Be right back on Seculo. 800-684-3110. If you want to vent. It's Friday. And we still don't know the outcome of our election in America. You know, the Chinese got to be they're laughing. This is when they say you have, and they are pitching this to the world. And they're pitching it also to parts of the world that are still figuring out their political system. So they're telling the Indians of the world. They're telling the governments of the world to say, you don't want their system. It may sound nice and good to have democracy or democratic republic, but when you can't get election results and you can't figure out who's in charge.
It's embarrassing.
And so they point to it and say, see, having like a leader for 10 or 15 years gives you that security,
stability.
You know, if you put your investment here, that guy's going to be in charge. And here you don't know, you know, which of the nuts are going to be in charge.
Well, I think also people look at it, and I genuinely think there is a large misunderstanding of even what a senator, what a congressperson, what they even do, yeah, and what they do separately, why there's a governor, a senator, a congressperson, and a president. Like this is, and a mayor, and there's so many different elected officials. And sure, I'm sure there's that in other parts of the world. Aldermen, there's lots, there's so many things.
Townships and places, depending on where you live in the country, they're all names.
School board, we know.
Oh, school board.
Yeah.
Don't scream at school board.
Let that sink in. All right, should we take some calls?
Yeah.
All right.
Joyce.
Let's go to Joyce in Colorado.
Hi, gentlemen. How are you today?
Great.
That's good. I just think it's funny. I'm not on Twitter, but I do follow you guys. I do donate to you guys.
Thank you.
And everything. But I think it's awful darn funny that people are complaining about the $8 a month for Twitter, but they'll pay $15 a month for Netflix.
Yeah, and you don't have to pay $8 to use Twitter.
That's just if you want a fancy blue check mark and you're not already.
And you want to post longer video content.
I think there's going to be new features. They haven't even rolled out everything yet. So
supposedly it's going to like be.
What it really was is because they are bleeding money.
Yeah, he had to fire half the staff.
And he said, I need to do it. Now what's funny is even the people that are trolling with creating these accounts, they're having to get shut down because they're not really verified, but they look verified. Those people still have given their money now to Twitter. And at this point, I think Elon Musk is a good enough businessman to also know he doesn't really care. Because what he's saying is Twitter verification meant nothing to begin with, so just throw it out there, and then at the end of the day, I'm making some money.
Yeah, and I think your point's well taken, too. I mean, we're used to – now, people are going back to say, especially this economy, and saying all these $9.99 things I've signed up for a month.
Oh, I've gone
through – which ones am I actually using?
I've personally done it. I've gone through my reoccurring
to see –
any? I haven't. I canceled. I've probably saved about $70 a month on just things that I didn't even realize were still being charged.
Fill up your car.
Yeah. No, I mean, I did it, and I went through it, and it took a long time.
Did you use one of those like apps that you pay for to do it?
I did.
And it worked?
Some of them worked. They'll also go and negotiate for you. This sounds like an ad for them.
They'll negotiate for you?
Yeah, they'll negotiate your prices down.
Like to Netflix?
To your like cable provider, internet provider.
Oh, to like the big, yeah. We all get,
I did it on a small one to see if it worked. It did. So it is still that, but there are a lot of companies that do that now that offer it, but you can just go through your own bills and see it yourself too if you want to spend the time and go through and see probably how much money is being sent out. But again, for the people who don't know, that $8 a month for Twitter, it's not to utilize Twitter. Twitter is free. This is just if you want to the special features.
You don't need that to log in.
Yep.
And see all the and comment and put your message out. So again, they got to figure out a way to make money or else they can't have company.
All right. Should we, you want to take another call?
Yeah.
All right. Cheryl in Colorado. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. First, happy Veterans Day. I have three older brothers that all served in Vietnam. But my point is, I saw an exit poll this morning that said 18 to 35-year-olds, their two top election points were abortion rights and climate control, which means they're not as concerned about the economy and inflation as us older adults. And I think that's partly because as parents, we bail them out. They know they're never going to be without food or groceries.
Well, I mean, that's true in America. And I think that it's not a bad thing that most Americans are going to be without food and groceries, but it's true. We have record young voter turnout, and their priorities are not the same.
Yeah.
And they're also much more influenced. They are more influenced by the cause of the moment than they are the long-term thinking about investments and money.
I do think, as ridiculous as it seems, and I don't like saying this necessarily, is you had like the TikTok celebrities and those kind of people who have been invited to the White House and have done all these Democratic initiatives, and the videos are insane, and they're silly, and they're ridiculous. However, I do think they're also effective, and they're talking to
their
an audience that they need to activate. And I think conservatives need to start looking at one of those things. The conservatives do need to start embracing more of the influencer culture that does exist. Because I think a lot of those top conservative influencers are still kept out of the major discussion.
Yeah.
They're still, they're kind of like, yeah, but you're not Fox News. You're not mainstream media. That's fine.
I think we're in a post-Fox News world in many ways.
I think so too. I think we're in a world of obviously, look, I've worked with Fox News. I can literally track when, if we have like a client.
It's huge, but
the Fox News spikes are,
like you said,
100% real.
You could say that about all of them. You're in a post-CNN, post-MSNBC. Because there's these people online that if they tell their 10,000 people they're watching that moment to go vote and they feel like to be part of that group, they need to go vote, they do.
Yeah. So laugh.
It's more personal.
You can laugh at the content.
That's what it is. The content is more personal. It is delivered to you for exactly what you want.
Yeah. Feel free to laugh at the content because some of it I do think is ridiculous and we should react to how ridiculous it is. It doesn't mean it's not effective. It doesn't mean it's not actually doing its job. I'm sorry to say this, but I believe the liberal media world is a little bit more in touch with the younger voter and how to appeal to them, of course. So, but the thing is, there are tons of these young conservative activist social media influencers. And I think a lot of them are being kept out of.
And I think some are too far right.
Some are too far right.
I think some of the ones that we put up are too far right. And then like a regular 18 to 35 is like, okay, I might be entertained by that person, but I don't want to be associated with that
person. I do think the liberal voters, because liberal is
accepted,
there is that a bit more.
And then the right responds to that by being more aggressive because you're the smaller group on campus.
Yeah.
And then, but suddenly you're like, you're so aggressive that you're off-putting to too many people. And I mean, listen, let's just be honest. You want to win elections, you got to get people to vote for you. You can't just be talking to your choir.
Yeah, and you can't just be stirring stuff up, which is what we've been talking about. I think that is, maybe that's the referendum that may have happened on Tuesday is, people that just stir it up aren't the answer to the problems of the world. And maybe, finally, we'll start to realize that. We'll see.
And it could be a longer process than one election cycle to get there. And I think it is for conservatives. We've always had a problem with young voters.
If you lose and you lose and you lose, then eventually someone's got to wake up.
Yeah, you don't want to keep losing.
No.
That's no fun.
It's not fun. And the thing is, it's not losing by insane margins.
No, but you're just not quite getting enough people across the board.
Yeah.
Across the line for you. These were all 2, 3, 4%, which means the votes were there. And you just couldn't activate them. I think there were a lot of people, I think Mike Pompeo says right, is yes, these economic issues are heavy, but they saw the Republican candidates as cartoons.
Well, I mean,
and they said, you know what, I don't like where Joe Biden is, I don't support their policies, but I don't want those people in charge of my bank account either.
Well, I mean, the clear example of that is what happened in Georgia. I think that as much as I like Herschel and I obviously die hard.
The fact that 100,000 people made a difference between Kemp
it's that
and like politically
wild.
You can't square up a Kip Warnock vote.
No.
Or even leaving it blank.
Right. So the fact that a bunch of them decided to either blank or to leave it for independent because they were so dissatisfied with the candidate choice, we need to all, take a look at that. Now, hopefully, he comes through in the general or in the runoff. But look, Herschel lost the general, however you want to look at it.
Oh, yeah, he's still behind. He was 100,000 votes.
He's still lost.
A little less than 100. Maybe it was like 50,000.
Yeah, sure. Now it goes to a runoff. But at the end of the day,
we haven't done well. Warnock's won.
For plenty of states, it would have just been, that was it.
Yeah, he would have lost.
Yeah. So, keep yourself aware and make sure you're looking at that. I do feel for Georgia.
Did we say climate control?
I think they said it in the notes, in the show notes. That's fine. All right. Well, we want to hear from you. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. We are going to be taking your phone calls in the next segment of the show.
We talked about a little bit with Mike Pompeo, a little bit about what the House is going to do, where they're going to focus on if the Republicans finally do take charge.
Who are they putting up for? Who's running for secretary? For speaker, excuse me.
It looks like you'll get a Freedom Caucus candidate, like a Jim Banks, but possibly, and Kevin McCarthy. Scalise announced that he's not.
Okay.
So those were the top two. They're not going to go for a fight. So it looks like Kevin.
So I'm just trying to decide who is going to be ours when the next Biden State of the Union. Who's going to be the guy who gets to rip up the paper?
Kevin McCarthy.
All right, Kevin McCarthy.
Like, again, I'm not saying that because
I'm not asking you to stir stuff up. But if you want to rip a speech in half, I wouldn't be mad.
Or just not go.
Oh, just no show.
Or
just
walk
empty
out.
Chair.
If she just walked out.
Just halfway through. Or just try to like you read along with the teleprompter. Like have him just.
Yeah, or like make it, yeah, like yeah. Emotions.
Yeah. Try to distract him. We know he doesn't like people speaking to people behind him.
That's true.
He's gonna say, yeah, there's ghosts behind me.
There's ghosts everywhere.
Yeah.
Get him some ice cream. Just hear that chomping.
We're going to take
your call. Could be on the 6 years of the chomping.
Support the work of the ACLJ. Visit aclj.org. Not only can you read new pieces by people like Mike Pompeo, you should go to the website, check out all we're doing, download the app. And look, because there's great news and information. You can also find us on every social media platform. And you can find Jordan and I 3 days a week on another show, Secular Brothers Podcast, on Rumble, on Facebook. Everywhere you find us, we're there.
Secure, take your phone calls too. I want to hear from veterans and thank veterans on Veterans Day, which we do every day in the ACLJ, and always realize that the reason why we can have these conversations, direct conversations, talk politics, talk tough issues, have freedom of speech, is that we have folks who volunteer to serve our country, to step beyond politics, to say this bigger experiment is worth fighting for and worth defending. And we thank all of them for their service, all the men and women who serve our country, have served our country, and will serve our country. I want to play this from Steve Scalise. It was right before the election, and I think this is why you are seeing some Democrat meltdown. There's a reason why they're still obsessing on it, most of the liberal networks right now. It's because they know that, I don't want to say hell, but something similar is going to open up on them, and that's going to be the investigations.
Yeah.
Take this, I thought was good because we've had Mayorkas. It's like people are just sick and tired of the border. This story about fentanyl, there's enough fentanyl crossing the border this year that could kill everyone in the United States 10 times over. So it's like, there's nuclear war.
The entire United States.
10 times. That's how much they seized. That's not including what didn't get seized. That's on the streets.
So enough to kill us probably 100 times.
That's out there, probably. Yeah.
More. I mean, I don't know why to speculate that numbers, but I mean, an absurd amount.
Yeah, I mean, so take a listen to him by 27.
In our commitment to America, we talk about securing America's border and holding them accountable. We will give Secretary Mayorkas a reserved parking spot. He will be testifying so much about this. So that's the kind of oversight we're going to be doing.
And I think that's the kind of oversight people want. They do want oversight on the border because of the drugs. That's not partisan.
No.
It shouldn't be partisan.
Well, it's killing in not in a partisan way.
Right. And then on top of that, you could have that investigation. Interesting enough, the head of the Washington, D.C. field office was moved. You're going to see that too. People are going to quit and move around. So the head of the D.C. field office, which is the guy who suppressed the Hunter
Biden. Why is that important?
He's right. The one who went to Facebook about the Hunter Biden laptop.
Gotcha. Okay.
He's out. Why is he out? Because they don't want him being the face of their number one field office.
It's a tainted face, essentially.
And they're going to be dragged before Congress. I mean, subpoenaed. And listen, I think, again, there's going to be some focus on Hunter Biden. People want that. There is going to be... What's going on? You're laughing too hard.
They're laughing in there. No, it's all. Go ahead.
Okay. I don't know what they're saying.
I don't either. Let's take a phone call. Let's go to Dave in Texas on line one.
Hello, guys. Jay, Logan, and the guys, the team. You're doing a great job. I want to wish everybody out there listening a happy Veterans Day, and I hope that the Democrats and Republicans like Trump and DeSantis will get along. God bless.
Yeah, look.
Oh, there we go. I mean, people are picking up.
The conversation started. We're not going.
I kind of want to get through this. I want to take control of the house.
Can we just take a week off once this?
Well, and we got to kind of re-energize for Herschel because you don't want to lose all the Trump supporters by saying we only want DeSantis in Georgia. Like, you got to figure it out. How are we going to figure this out? I'm not saying Donald Trump's making that easier for people.
No, I think that's now. When you have him just on Truth Social, it is a little bit different, but they kind of trickle out in these ways. I mainly don't want us to get distracted from what's currently happening right now. And I do think America, and I mean this in all honesty, has to have some kind of break between elections where you physically and mentally can take, because we haven't had that, I don't feel like, in a long time, where you physically and mentally can take a break between campaigning for one and to the next. I mean, truthfully, I believe that there shouldn't be a two-term presidency. I believe you should be able to go maybe one longer term or some on the out, because I think so much of it is spent in re-election time. So much is spent in focusing because you're not focused. Joe Biden is going to have to start focusing on re-election. He already is.
Already was.
Yeah, already was doing that. And that's a detriment to the country, even if you're a liberal, because they're not focused on what's actually happening, whether it's the fentanyl crisis, like you said, what's happening in your own back door, your own backyard, what the problem is. It's just absurd. Yeah. I hate it. I hate that we're continually getting these election cycle, and it really does bother me. I know it sounds like we're like being silly and having fun here, but it bothers me.
I think this
hurts people's mental health when we go from, we're not even to the point of this election being decided, and the number one story,
500,000 votes still to be counted in Arizona.
Just Arizona.
500,000.
Okay, well, that's a problem.
And
too.
The guy Bill Gates is going out saying it worked. The system works.
It's a failed state.
It looks like a failed state.
In Arizona.
The world looks at our country and says, maybe this experiment didn't work.
Yeah. I'd really dislike that. I really dislike that this is what the future of politics is, unless we can seize the moment
Stop demonizing early voting. Stop some of the crazy stuff. Let's learn. Let's take advantage of the rules. How many times do we say on here, you know, all those Democrat activists, they're not breaking the law. They're going to the extent of what the law allows. Let's do that. So if the law says we get to vote 2 weeks out, let's get a million people there.
Yeah. As much as you may not like it because it's been some reason.
You can debate the good or bad about what's a law, but if it's legal to do politically, do it.
Yeah. And they're going to keep doing it. Again,
You're going to keep getting burned on it. They're going to laugh all the way to winning.
Because you can't put a genie back in the bottle.
Because you're complaining about it, saying, I don't like early voting, and I don't trust the system. I'm not talking about absentee. That's a different system. It's been in place forever, and it's not the best.
Yeah.
But
absentee and mail-in are problems. However, in some places, it's made for people in unique situations,
like military, people traveling,
DeSantis activated it in certain places that were really affected by the hurricane.
I think
that is totally fine.
Yes, there's things you do. But like, if the law says you get to vote 2 weeks before, why are we telling everyone not to?
No.
And they're not. And they're getting in before they even debate, before Fetterman even told people what his condition was.
Yeah, before you really saw it.
70% of his votes were in. No. His campaign had not yet disclosed how bad it was.
Before the vote, then all of a sudden you had the debate, which we all saw.
Didn't even matter because he had
it. It was already over.
Yep.
All right. Well, look, we only have a couple minutes left here, and I do want to spend this time talking about what the work is we do here at the ACLJ. You may hear this show. You may hear the Secular Brothers podcast we do. There's a lot of great work that's happening behind the scenes and right in the front. Go to ACLJ.org. Look at all the great content there. Obviously, we encourage you, if you can financially, right now we know it's tough, to donate, support the work of the ACLJ as part of a matching challenge right now in the month of November. That means if you give $10 effectively, it becomes $20 by another great donor who's there to match it. However, I do just want you to go and spend time on the website because it is extensive and updated every day with brand new content. And there's a new piece that just went up from Wes Smith called Veterans Day Unites All Americans. And then we have, like I said, that Bald Beagle Kids video. We'll make sure that gets posted as well today on all our social media platforms. That's all about Veterans Day, Veterans Day for kids.
Yeah, and I think, too, internationally, we've got a victory at our office in Pakistan. We were talking about that yesterday. One of the families we represented there is running a small business, and there was a fight over the business, and literally a group, a Muslim group, and the Muslim majority there stirs up trouble, it's Christian minority, and they start shooting, shotguns into it. We're putting the pictures up. I mean, you can see it. And shotguns into this family's home. We were able to ensure that the person who fired those shots did not get released on bail.
Yeah.
And so what we're doing is standing up for that minority there. And again, I'm not to demonize all Muslims. It's to say that this Muslim majority for so long in Pakistan has been able to treat the Christians like trash and garbage.
Yeah. Over very trivial things, really.
Over trivial things. This was a cell phone. And then, of course, you get to the bigger issues like blasphemy, rape. I mean, we deal with all of it. But I encourage you to check out our work there. We're going to be putting a lot more out for you to see that. We're fighting on the front lines of these issues. ACLJ.org. We don't just talk about it. We actually do it. ACLJ.org. Talk to you next week. Hopefully we'll have